Look at him. Pastor Pawpaw waving at him. God is awesome. Y'all said the answer with all the time. Yeah, isn't God awesome? Here we go. Now, last week, we started on something very powerful, and I want to make sure that we finish up. You know, I was sitting there thinking about next week. This is really kind of amusing. I was thinking about next week, and I haven't even written it yet, but I was thinking about doing a sermon on how to deal with difficult people. Anybody ever had a thought about that, how you deal with difficult people? Then I realized next week's Father's Day. So I don't know whether it was for the fathers or for the children, how to deal with difficult people. So next week will not be on how to deal with difficult people. Amen. Next week is going to be Father's Day. But probably the following week, that there's two things, or three things that the Lord keeps dealing with me about very hard. And that is, there's a lot of anxious people around here. When I say anxious, I mean they're really, their workload has actually stressed them out. Their family load has stressed them out. Whatever they've been going through has stressed them out. And so they find themselves in a bad, bad situation. And so between anxiety and also dealing with difficult people causes anxiety. And then just discouragement. I mean, I can think about things that discourage me all the time. Did anything discourage y'all? You know, I'd like to look around and see a church full of people. I don't. You know, I can do something about it, but everybody else can too. If everyone, last one of us, brought one next week, if everybody brought just one next week, the church would double. Just like that. Everybody bring one. That ought to be your new thing. Everybody bring one. That's what they do at the Penitentiary Center. The inmates, everybody bring one with you, because that's what's happening. Amen. And of course, it just keeps getting better and better in all kinds of ways. Amen. God is so awesome. So I'm going to tell you a story, though. A surgeon goes to return some books that he borrowed from the library. The librarian quips after checking the books, and she says, "Sir, your books are always returned with the last page missing in every single book." The surgeon replies, "I can't stop myself from removing an appendix whenever I see one." Oh, there's a good one. All right. I finally got a good one. That's right. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Kings. The Lord spoke to me the other day, just clear as a bell. I was riding down the road, and I was talking. Me and the Lord were talking. To start with, I was doing all the talking. He was doing all the listening, and that didn't work out too good. Then he did all the talking and I weren't listening. That didn't work out too good. So then he started talking and I started listening. And then we started going places. Amen. Anybody ever been in those predicaments? You're talking and he ain't listening. I mean, you're talking, he ain't talking. It's just you. And there's times where he's talking, you ain't listening. Well, I stopped talking and I just listened. And I'm going to tell you something. For all those that may feel a little discouragement from time to time, especially when you see church attendance low or you see your family going through something that seems like there's no end in sight, here's the thing I want to tell you. The Lord spoke to me, and I sent it out to the Mighty Melodies, which is the praise team. I want to tell everybody that the church is on the prefaces of seeing that big. We've seen it. We keep seeing it move forward. We keep seeing it take two steps forward and three steps back. Two steps forward, three steps back. And it seems like that seems, people say, well, that's just the way we are. And yeah, it is. But you know what? That's getting ready to break. It's getting ready to break. And stop that two steps forward, one step back. We're going to start taking one step forward, another step forward, another step forward, another step forward, and not take any back. Amen. I'd rather take one step forward and no back than take two or three forward and one back. One step at a time. It's coming. It's coming so fast that you can't even believe it. When it happens, you're going to sit around and go, wow, I had no idea. But watch this. Everybody, it's everybody's responsibility to get busy for God. If looking around and you don't see people that you normally see and it discourages you, and looking around and seeing people empty pews and it discourages you, then I'm going to tell you what God is doing. God is calling you. Listen carefully. God is calling you to do something about it. Why is he calling you to do something about it? It's so simple. Invite somebody to church. It's simple. If you get in here, the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. Matter of fact, while you're talking to them, the Holy Spirit will be on top of you talking to them. But God needs a body. Amen? God needs a body. God needs somebody to get out and talk. So and if you feel the need to vent because something you don't like or something that scourges, please come and vent to me or come and vent to somebody else. Don't vent to somebody on the street because you just shut them down forever coming. Matter of fact, I pray every day for God to put holy duct tape on people's mouths that they're going to complain. All right? So if you're ever walking around and you get ready to say something to somebody, you're going to complain to the wrong people, and all of a sudden you go, That's my prayer being answered. All right? So remember, we got a beautiful church. We got beautiful things going on. We got stuff going on here. I know every church has got their thing going on. We got something going on here that nobody else has got. And so when people come in, that's how you grow. You don't have the same thing everybody's got because you don't grow like that. You grow with something different. The problem is when you have something different, there's that growth stage. And it's in that growth stage you can become discouraged. And that discouragement, that's what Satan uses. They went to Satan and they had a rummage sale. And he was selling some of his stuff. And they went to him and said, well, here's discouragement. How much you to put that up there for? He said, no, don't put that up there for sale. He said, but it's just such a small thing. He says, yes, a small thing, but it's one of my most powerful weapons. I can never get rid of that. Discouragement. All right? So just face it head on and let's get rid of it. Amen? Look at somebody and say, face it head on and get rid of it. matter of fact, look at somebody and say, next week, bring one with you. All right. That's right. I really didn't really realize, because a lot of stuff gets done in high gear. When I say high gear, there's just a whole lot of stuff going on all at one time. And so the Lord has taught me a lot of things in the last years. But I think the last 6 months he's taught me more, put me in intense training. And I'm not talking about Lee University. I'm talking about God's University. It's put me in some intense stuff, and it's really been amazing to see. It didn't feel good to start with, but it's amazing to see what happens, the fruit of it. Okay, the plowing felt bad. The sowing felt bad. But the reaping has been awesome. And so remember, if you're feeling bad right now and you're feeling kind of down, maybe God's plowing. Ripping up junk, getting out of the way so he can plant something nice. Amen? Amen. Sometimes you got to rip that soil up and plant something nice. Number two, I remember looking beside the house one day, and we had a bunch of cornfields in Merritt, big old bunch of cornfields right there beside the house on both sides, plus we had a cow pasture with cows in it. But I looked there one day, and I saw one day they come through and they cut the corn, and he left it there for a while. I said, Daddy, why don't he plant something right now? He says, son, they're letting the soil rest. I said, well, why don't they go ahead and take up the roots right now? He said, because right now they're good roots, not bad roots. They're good roots right now. And he says, so they're there. Because my daddy was a farmer. They're there to hold the soil together while it's resting. He said, when the time comes, they're going to come pull even the good roots up. Listen carefully. Pull even the good roots up. Because he's going to plant something even better. And then the day came, the farmer came along and ripped them all up. I said, look at this, daddy. He said, yep, now he's getting ready for new growth. So listen. There's some things that you consider strong and that it's holding you together and that God couldn't do any better. And all of a sudden it gets pulled away from you. You're thinking, why is it getting pulled away from me? Because God's saying, sometimes even the good roots get in the way of an awesome harvest. So get ready. So we're feeling it. That's what we're all feeling. We're feeling it left and right, feeling it left and right. But you know what? I thank God for an awesome, awesome harvest. Amen. Look at somebody and say, the harvest is coming. Matter of fact, that's what I want you to keep saying to yourself. The harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. All right. Now, here's the second thing. You don't want to hear the Lord say, the harvest is white with harvest, and I don't have any workers in the field. Oops. Get in the field. Get ready. Let's see. 1 Kings chapter 20. Stand for the reading of God's word. Isn't God so good to us all the time? That's right. Last week we talked about God of the mountain. Now we're going to talk about God of the valley. Stand for the reading of the word. 1 Kings chapter 20. First Kings chapter 20, I want you to listen carefully because you're going to get an answer. Some of y'all are going to get an answer today to a prayer you've been praying of why is it happening? Why is this happening to me? You're getting ready to get an answer. And I want you to listen. Matter of fact, if you come here today and say, I wish you'd hurry up so I can get on and do something else, I pray that God just goes ahead and not only gives you a hold of duct tape at the mouth, but gives you a hold of duct tape in the seat of your pants. And sticks you right here and says, you ain't going anywhere. I'm not releasing you till you hear. So you ready? This is awesome. Y'all say it's awesome. All right. Chapter 20, 1 Kings, verse 1. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all of his host together. And there were 39 and 2 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Then the messengers came again and said, thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me thy silver, gold, and thy wives, and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of your servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in their eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. I thank you, God, that you are working miracles in our midst. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to anoint us, to help us to see your hand in our life. In the name of Jesus, even see through discouragement and know that discouragement is a weapon of Satan to keep us at bay. Let us know, Lord, that you're there and you've got something special coming our way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Shake somebody's hand on the way down and say, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Sister Sylvia, you're looking so good. God's working miracles, isn't he? Amen. And sent you a good man beside you. Amen. Brother Billy, raise your hand. I'm playing. Brother Steve. I couldn't resist that, Brother Steve. That was awesome. God is so good. All right. So here we go. Let's get started. Now again, this is part two of how low can you go? God of the mountains and of the valleys. Amen. Now I'm just a couple of slides just to get you kind of acquainted with last week. Just a couple, I promise you, because I want to get on into this week's. But first, let's look here. Now the Bible said that God prepared them ahead of time for this journey. Because God told them through Moses in Deuteronomy 11:11, the land where you go is to possess it. That word possess does not mean it's handed to you. That word possess means I'm militarily going over and I'm taking by force. Hear me? I'm going before you, and you're going to take by force the land that I give you. It's the land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Now, there's two unique demands expecting. Physically, it's going to be rough because you're going to have to carry all this stuff. Millions of people are going to have to go up mountains and down into valleys, up the mountains, down into valleys. So physically, you're going to find that you're going to be tired. But spiritually and emotionally, there's going to be some rough stuff. How many have felt any rough stuff lately? Amen? So you're thinking, well, Lord, is it just me? No, he's already told you. You know, Lord's already told you. The land that you're going in, there's going to be hills and there's going to be valleys. And you know something I found about hills or mountains? You know, I found that even climbing a mountain is not easy. But listen to this. Do you know it's impossible to climb a smooth mountain? So even when God allows you to have problems going up the mountain, it's just to get you to your destination. So remember, this is from last week again. He called this, watch this. He called this the promised land, full of bounty, full of blessings. He called it the promised land. He did not call it the problem-free land. A lot of times we get it all mixed up. The promised land means I won't have any problems. No, the promised land means that you're getting ready to have more problems than you ever could think of, but God's going to be there and use these to cause you to grow. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Luke 19:13, occupy till I come. That's the New Testament version. Now here it is. Occupy till I come means literally I want you to go into the land. Occupy like a force, a force coming in. And take back what Satan has stolen from you. Amen? So here it is. Here's the last part from last week, and then we're getting ready to jump into this week. Get ready. Come on there, buddy. You can do it. There you are. Praise God. There's two major battles in this chapter. In this battle is the same people and the same enemy. I want you to think about that now. In this battle is the same people and the same enemy. And here is the key verse. In verse 23, I want you to read it with me. Look in chapter 20, verse 23. And we're going to see this key verse. It says, in the Syrians, the servants said, this is after they were whipped when they tried to take God's people on the mountain. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight them again in the plain, in the valley. And surely we shall be stronger than they. Now I want you to watch this now. This is a very powerful, powerful message here. And I want you to listen, because some of you really need to hear this. You need to understand what's going on in your life. Here was the lessons last week of Satan's attacks. I want you to remember this. Satan will attack you. It's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of when. He will attack. And when he does attack, and you defeat him, he does not take that defeat lightly. And just when you think you got him and you defeated him, he will attack again. And not only will he attack again, he continually looks for a doorway. And what I have discovered in my Christian life is many times I'm the one that leaves the door open. Amen? You know, I remember my mama telling me, shut the door, son, you're letting the flies in. Pamlico County, shut the door, son, you're letting the mosquitoes in. I said, mama, that weren't me. They were prying the door open themselves. You remember how big they are down there? Amen. Amen. And so now I tell DC and Daniel, shut the door. And Bethany, shut the door. You're letting the air condition out. Now I go in their houses and say, Dad, you forgot to shut the door. You're letting the air condition out. I'm thinking, payback, 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 payback. Of course, I look at him and just go, I'm sorry. I weren't thinking. And as I go, I'm going, payback, payback, payback. No, not really. I just sometimes don't pay attention to the door. Amen. All right, so now, he's looking for a doorway. He's looking for a means to come in and to attack you. So here it is, the stages of attack. The first attack that Satan did actually was he attacked on the mountain, and he lost. And the reason that he lost is simply he said, well, since we could not take them, it must be that he's the god of the mountain, because I have 32 kingdoms with me, with their horses, with their armament. I have them all with me to prove that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to take anybody I want that gets in my way. I've already asked, I'm coming. And he stood against me with his little bitty force, and he beat me. Obviously, his God is the God of the mountain. So now he changes his strategy. I want you to see this. Now, here's where you're going to learn. I want you to pay close attention. Now, why does Satan attack us in the valley? We talked about it on the mountain, we get overconfident. And we just kind of begin to live loosely, and we kind of take our eyes off of God when we're on the mountain. But now, when he comes back, he'll come back while you're in the valley. Here it is. Watch this now. Listen carefully. It's in the valley that we have a loss of energy. How many in here have been wore out in the last week or so? How many are wore out right now? All right. Satan loves this. Because I want you to put this together. Always remember this. The physical man and the spiritual man are always connected. It says, although the physical man dies day by day, spiritually we can grow day by day. But that's because we put forth an effort. It doesn't just happen. Nobody grows just by God opening up their head and dropping it in there. Spiritually and physically and emotionally, they're all connected. And because they're all connected, if somebody's physically exhausted, if they're not careful, it is so easy to get spiritually exhausted. And that's why Satan wants to keep you out of church, keep you from God's people. Remember, that's what was happening to Samaria. They were being besieged. They were being squeezed, and nobody could come in and nobody could go out. Again, because if he can keep them physically exhausted, please listen. if Satan can't stop you, he'll push you. If Satan cannot stop you from working with God, he will push you. And if he pushes you, you'll do more than you can possibly do, and he gets the same results. Matter of fact, he gets better results, because you know what? To see somebody lay back and do nothing, and you know they've always done nothing, doesn't really upset anybody around you because they know they do nothing. But to see somebody that's always done something for God, and then they took on more than they could handle, or took on more than they needed to, and then they fail, that made a bigger impact for the kingdom. So that's what Satan's trying to do. He tries to keep us so busy working for God that we get too busy to communicate with God. And when we get too busy to communicate with God, then we'll find out not only are we physically exhausted, we become spiritually exhausted. And I get that every now and then. I have to stop and go, wait a minute. You know, my wife and I were doing a little, it was really cool, a little thing called a love map. Love map is just questions. And if y'all want one for you, it's for man and wife. If you want one, because it's actually, when I do premarital counseling, I say right at first, when they first come up, I say, okay, y'all didn't know y'all were having a test tonight, did you? And they go, no, we didn't know that. I said, well, guess what? School time. I said, did you bring a pencil? And they said, no, we can't take it. I said, yeah, you can. I got an extra pencil. And it takes them about 30 minutes to fill out this four-page questionnaire. And they said, why are we doing this for? I said, because I'm going to introduce you to each other. And they go, we know each other. I said, no, you don't. I said, you think you know by the time you say I do? Once you say I do, you find out how much you didn't know. And they go, oh, come on. I said, no. But it does good for couples just from time to time to do stuff like this. It's called a love map. It's by the Smalley Institute, which is an awesome, awesome counseling service for marriages and for families. And so one, there was all these questions. And as we start looking at these questions, it's amazing. As we began talking back and forth and answering questions. And I would tell her, you know, I didn't realize that happened to you. Or I didn't realize you thought that way. Or she said, I didn't know that's how you felt. And one of the questions was to me, when do you feel the safest and most secure? How many has watched The Shack or read it? You're going to understand exactly what I'm saying. And I wrote down, she said, when do you feel the safest and most secure? And I put, right after I get off the phone with Papa. In The Shack, they call God Papa. And I just said, after I got off the phone with Papa, meaning after I got through praying. Every time when I get through praying, I feel so good. And you know what? Satan would love to stop us from praying. And do it on our own. So physically exhausted leads to spiritual exhaustion. And it will happen every time if you don't catch it before you hit the tipping point. Number two, why is he attacking the valley? Look, this is good stuff. Number two, why is he attacking the valley? A loss of vision. Because when you're in the valley, things are being rough. You're spiritually exhausted, you're physically exhausted, and usually you don't realize that you're physically exhausted, and you definitely don't realize that you're spiritually exhausted. All you know is you're in this valley, and you feel like God's not helping you. And so when you get in this valley, all you can see is your valley. These tickle me. Look over here. This morning I got ready to ask for some papers for my music, and DC said, Daddy, don't worry about it. He said, I got your book here. This is so funny. He said, I got every song we're going to play, every song we're going to play now until the next 20 years. And Brandon said, yeah, and we played 20 years ago. And I said, wow, that's a powerful book. It's got everything put in it for me. Amen. All the way up to that time. Well, see the same way. In other words, DC said, I've seen beyond. I've looked beyond. You can't see beyond, but I know what's coming up. And so I've already put the stuff in there because I know what's coming. You don't, but I do. Guess what? We've all got a book like that. Did you know that? I can't see beyond my valley. I don't know what's coming up. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But guess what? He's already been there, and He's already taken care of you, and He's showing you, if you'll watch this and read this, you'll see that I never let anybody down. All my children, I took care of them. And I've got your back. So that's some powerful, powerful stuff. So look, when you're in the valley, it's hard to see beyond your valley. And all you think of is it's never going to get any better. It's always going to be rough. It's always going to be tough. And the enemy says, with discouragement, why are you even serving a God to let you go through that? Wow. So there's another third thing. Once you have a loss of energy, you get a loss of vision. And once you get a loss of vision, then watch this. First, your expectation becomes less than positive. It becomes less than positive. Where once you're on top, you're on the mountain, you're excited about what God's doing, and people get around you, can't wait to tell them what God is doing, and you're just excited, it starts diminishing. And pretty soon, it's gone from less than positive to strictly negative. You can always tell somebody when they're in this way. Because the same person you used to go to be encouraged. You know, I was, and I think I might have told y'all this last week, but I'm going to tell it again. I was walking through D.C. I was driving that car out there, D.C.'s car, and D.C. said, Daddy, try it out. See how you like it. So I'm trying this car out. He said, there's only one problem. It's got the battery's kind of dead. Well, it was more than kind of dead. And so I'm carrying it. This is funny. So I carry it down, and I had to, if you ever see these little bitty starters, I mean, these little jump starts now, they're about that big. They're about the size of a cell phone, lithium. They're that big. They're that thick and that big. They look like they fit in your pocket. They work because I started that Chrysler five times off of one charge. Five times. You can't even get the big old jump box to do that. Okay, so DC actually was just trying to get me to test that thing. That's all it was. He said, does it really work? Yeah, it really works. Yeah, DC was being smart. All right, what I was going to say is, I'm riding along, and I'm sitting there, and as the battery died, so I get by, I drove to Greenville, but it weren't enough because the battery must have had a dead cell, and so I had to jump start again. Then I had to go just a quarter mile down the road. I knew that was going to happen, and sure enough, it did it again. And so as I had to keep getting out and jump start my car and jump start my car, I went from less than positive. Well, come on, none of y'all would be, y'all be the same way. I went from less than positive to negative on the battery. Not the car. The car's fine. Not DC. He was fine. Just that moment. I've learned in life, don't crowd everything. Don't include everything in with it. Just the problem. Because I'm looking at that thing and I'm watching that and I'm thinking, Lord, is it ever going to get any better? And I weren't talking about the car then. I was just talking, period. You know, I sound like every time I get started, something stops. I get started, something stops. Then start, something stops. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Bud, can't you see beyond your valley right now? Can't you peep over the top? And so I'm walking in the Dollar Tree waiting for the car. Out there on 33. And a guy from Fountain walks up. I have not seen him in 13, 14 years. And I didn't really work directly with him because in most of the departments, I would come through and I would talk to him, but some of those guys I never really got relationship with. And this guy here, he worked where they took the molds and they made the molds. They put the fiberglass in the molds and they made the molds. And so it's called lamination. And so this guy, and most of the time when I saw him, he had a white cover over his beard and a white hat, so most of it's just his eyes on something. I walked past him, and I saw his eyes, and I went. And he stopped me and said, sir, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. He said, did you used to work at Fountain? And look, the Lord's got a way of getting you. I said, yeah, I sure did. And I said, did you used to work at Fountain? He said, yeah, I worked in lamination. He said, I just want to tell you something. I had nothing. I mean, God does this so awesome. God orchestrates stuff. And how he can help you. And or make you feel good or bad at the same time. I said, yeah. And I said, he said, you were one of them engineers. You were that engineering manager guy. I said, yeah, I was. He said, I just want to tell you something. And I said, okay, what you want to tell me? He said, I just want you to know that every time you walked on that floor, I felt something. And he said, every time you come to our area to give us a project or whatever, he said, I can't tell whatever you were bringing, even if it was bad. He said, whenever you come to our area and you started talking, he said, my heart jumped. He said, there was something different about you. And I said, well, that's God. He said, I just wanted you to know, and he walked off. And Lord just spoke right to me and said, don't lose it, son, over a battery. I had to stop right there for just a minute. Let you digest it. Because the Lord hugged me and popped me at the same time. He held me like this to hug me and pop my tail at the same time. And I said, you know what? Yeah. So what? I got held up for another hour or two. That's not a problem. Because I'm going to minister to somebody anyway. Everything will be fine. Everything's good. You know, when you get in the valley, all this stuff starts happening. Because here's where Satan now thinks he can overcome you with no effort. I got him. Here's the guy, went through the death of his mama, the death of his wife, went through all kinds of crazy mess, and now he's sitting here in a parking lot. It was kind of hot, and I was just in a hurry. That was the whole thing. I was in a hurry because normally that wouldn't bother me at all. And I was in a hurry, and it still weren't life-changing, but still, I was in a hurry, and I kept saying, well, Lord, I need to go. Lord, I need to go. Lord, I need to go. And what it was, listen, Satan says, I can take him out without firing a shot. Has anybody ever seen that? Has anybody ever felt that? So look, just to make things better, here's what Satan did. I'm going to read this to you. This is so awesome. Just to make things better, just to go ahead and put the mouth into the, I mean, put the apple in the mouth of the pig before you throw them on the cooker. Listen to this. Satan now goes from he was overconfident. He sent his guys in. The kings were drunk. Everybody went in to fight on the mountain. They were not even together. They didn't care because they thought they could take him so easy. Listen carefully. Now, he does something different. Watch what he does. He changes his outlook. He takes God's people seriously this time. Some of y'all are wondering, I just got through the valley. I mean, I just got through the battle. I just got through probably one of the toughest battles I've been through, and I came out unscathed. I was doing great, and everything was going good, and now he's attacked me again. And now he's attacked me while I'm low, while things are hurting. Why is he attacking me so hard? And this time it's different. It's a lot different than it was last time. What in the world is going on? You don't realize Satan's changing his attitude towards you. Satan knew he couldn't get you last time, so now he's taking you more seriously. Now watch this now. Watch carefully. It changes directions. He said, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their room. In other words, look, I want you to take the most powerful men you got and put them in the place of those kings. Those kings have not fought battles. Those captains have. And he says, now, not only that, but I don't want you just to fight them. I want you to fight them when they're in the valley because now you can get them. So now Satan's taking it seriously. You're thinking, man, what in the world is going on? I just came through a battle. I just came through a rough time. And we stood on top, and I'm just getting my wind back. I'm just getting my breath back. It seems like I can just breathe again. Why is he hitting me so hard? This is harder than one of the hardest things I've ever had to face. Because he knows when he's changed his attitude, when he puts in his best to fight, and he catches you in the valley, you've got no mountains to hide behind. You have no defenses around you. You have to face his chariots head on. And that's what he wants to do with every last one of us. That's what he's trying to do to some of you right now. You're in the valley looking around thinking, what am I going to do now? Where can I hide? The chariots are coming head on. Next, there was an oversight. You see, why he was doing all this to get God's people? He was trusting his own strength. He outnumbered them. He outskilled them. He had everything ready to go. But one thing he didn't have was God's wisdom. We got God's wisdom. He said, "God, their God's not a God of the valley." They go in a fight, and they get whipped like they had never been whipped before. You see, our God is a powerful God. I'm going to end it with this. Get ready. Get ready. How can God help us to realize that the same God that fought our last battle is going to fight there? Verse 28, "And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he's not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." You see, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Nobody knew what to do. They had no place to hide behind. They had no rocks to hide behind. They had no mountains to climb in. They were flat out in the valley. They were coming at them head on. They did not know what to do, but God did. And God said, "Don't you worry about this multitude. You don't know what's going to happen, but I do, because I've already been there. I've seen it with my own eyes." This is God talking. "I've already been there. I've seen it with my own eyes. And I'm going to tell you how it's going to wind up. You're going to go in and you're going to wear them out. Not through your own strength, but through mine, saith the Lord." You see, our God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees and the Lord provides. Not only is he omniscient, all-knowing, but he also is omnipresent. Let me tell you something. God is never any closer to you than when you're in the valley. He's there. The Bible says that he draws near to the brokenhearted. He draws near to those with a contrite spirit. He's there with them when they're going through this. It's the strongest it ever could be. You see, watch this. Here's another name for God. I love this. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Let's go a little bit further. He's omnipotent, or omnipotent, however you want to say it. Omnipotent, omnipotent. The Bible says, "And they pitched one against the other 7 days. And so it was on the seventh day the battle was joined. And the children of Israel slew the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day." They only had 7,000 men and 232 chariots. And they slew 100,000 footmen in one day. They were outnumbered 10 to 1. And they took them down because God said, look, I love this. He said on the seventh day, God's day. See again, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord sees, the Lord knows. He's got that power. He is there for you. God is there. God's got everything you need. Everything you need. I love this. And y'all come up, musicians, come on up here. Our God is God. Anytime, any place, anywhere. If I could go back over my life and you go back over yours and you had that person, here's how you know when God's done something. Watch this. Here's how you know when God's done it. When he's done it again. When somebody asks you, how did you go through that? How did you make it? When you hear that tells you something, that they saw God. When somebody asks you, how'd you stand up like that? That would have crushed me. Again, that's a sign that God has done it. There's not a week goes by that at least 5 to 10 times I find myself saying, God did that. God did it. For here, how in the world can you stand with all that? God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. When you're in the valley, don't trust yourself. The same God that delivered you before when you're on the mountain is the same God that's going to deliver you in the valley. Don't everybody stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm not going to sing you out to bring you up here. I just want you to raise that hand so I can pray for you right now before we have the regular altar call. If you're fighting discouragement right now, it's because, whether you know it or not, you're in the valley. My question is, with every head bowed, every eye closed, who would tell me, just raise a hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Discouragement is trying to overwhelm me. And I'm trying to figure out a way to make that stand. Put that hand up. I'm not going to call you out. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, you see these hands. You're more than able to take care of business. Lord, they need to hear from you, and I hope they heard today. You're here in a real way. You're here. You're taking care of business. You're here. You're not going to leave them. You're never any closer than you are when you're in the valley. The Bible says that Jesus was acquainted with sorrow and with grief and with pain. He's there. He's there. He's there. Matter of fact, I do want to end on this little note. The Bible tells us in Psalm 139, it says, if I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. When I first read that scripture, and for years, I thought, how can that be? Because the Bible says in hell, we're going to be separated from God. And then it hit me. If I'm on the mountaintop, He's there. If I make my bed in hell, meaning, if I'm trying to rest and find rest from the storm, find rest from what I'm going through, and as I'm trying to find rest, instead of making things better, I've made it worse because I backed down, let discouragement get the best of me. I stopped. God is still there. All you got to do is reach out, and He'll take your hand. That's all you got to do. Lord, those people that raised their hand, let them know that you're there. Through thick and thin, you're there. You're there. You're there. You have not left them. It may feel like it. It may look like it. They may even sense that you're not there, but you are. Hold on, because weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping means intense emotional spiritual pain endures for a night. For a season, but joy comes in the morning. Breakthrough is on the way. If you're here today and you got anything to pray for, anything whatsoever, right now, we're opening this altar. You want to talk to God about anything, I want you to step this way. You want to talk to God about anything, you just want to talk to Him for direction. You want to talk to Him for prayer. You want to talk to Him for praise. Whatever. All that will, come and pray.
Touch him, Lord. Bless him mightily. In the name of Jesus. And for your power and your anointing, we thank you, Lord God.
God's awesome. God's got us. God's got this. Y'all say, God's got this. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for being able to be in your house today, Lord. I praise you for all that we've heard this morning, Lord. Let us be able to use it, Lord. Let it be able to use it for the furthering of your kingdom, furthering our own lives in your kingdom. We just praise you for the man of God that brought the word today, Lord. Thank you for him. We love you and praise you and guide us the rest of the week, Lord, and let us share what we've learned today with somebody. In Jesus' name, amen.